Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, happy Friday, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. Today, why do Joe Biden and the Democrats need 87,000 new IRS agents to fight climate change? Oh boy. And inflation? Answer, they don't. Democrats want to drastically expand the size and power of the IRS. If the left has its way, the Tax and Spend Inflation Reduction Act reconciliation bill will create an IRS that will excessively audit, harass, and intrude into the lives of Americans. Despite what the Democrats claim, new IRS enforcement won't be borne by the rich and the large corporations. They have lawyers. They have accountants. They are protected. Who's not protected? Me and you. Middle-class families and small businesses will be targeted, especially people who are self-employed, cash-heavy businesses like restaurants, retailers, and barbershops. Is this one last power grab before the red wave washes them out of the ruling majority? Proverbs 29:2 says, "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn." On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, it would seem that as inflation is gripping Americans in their wallets and high gas prices are assaulting us at the pumps, that the only logical way through the current crisis is to hire 87,000 new IRS agents to fight climate change. Man, I can't even say that without laughing. But it's not funny because that's what they're doing. According to the Democrats, this is the formula for success here on day 872 of 15 days to flatten the curve. Not only that, the Democrats' bill, oddly entitled the Inflation Reduction Act, will have the IRS create a, quote, comprehensive financial account reporting regime, end quote, to track the withdrawals and deposits of bank accounts, investments accounts, and Venmo, PayPal, and Cash App accounts of American individuals and businesses. Let me ask you a question. Do Fortune 500 companies use Venmo, PayPal, and Cash App, and Zelle, and Stripe? No, they don't. They're targeting me and you. Does this sound like they're going after the rich, or does it sound like they're coming after us? On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, we show you the truth behind the Inflation Reduction Act, and as you might have guessed, it is not a pretty picture. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and God, we're so glad and grateful to be serving you, to be here on the front lines of the end times. We thank you, Father God, for the food on the table. God, we thank you for the clothes on our back. We thank you for the roof over our head. We thank you for the breath in our lungs. We thank you for waking us up today. Lord, we pray this morning for Laura Campoy, involved in a motor scooter accident, and she has a fairly substantial recovery road. We pray for Annetta today. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to heal her from her stroke from 2 months ago. She gets a little bit better every day, and we thank you for the increase. Jeanette needs prayers for a full-time caregiver. Keith Rourke, he is battling some serious depression due to the passing of his father, and we need to lift up our brother Keith in prayer. Kevin Thompson, he says, my wife and I are looking to move this November. Please pray the Lord's guidance in this matter. Amen. Dana Bragdon needs to have a CAT scan done, and they found a mass in the lower left quadrant of her abdomen. Doctors are not sure what it is, but prayers for her are greatly appreciated. Clayton Perry is receiving ongoing cancer treatments. He needs prayer. Jerry Rogalski is awaiting news of his the results of his radiation treatments, and we're going to pray that he would get a good report with that. Marie Bergere has an unspoken prayer request, and she says God knows her name and her prayer request, and she asks like-minded believers to stand in the gap and pray for her. Amen. Street preacher Marie's niece's cousin, Nikki, he was missing, and we prayed for him on the podcast on the Bible study on Wednesday. And as it turns out, he committed suicide. And we're just going to pray this morning that God would comfort the family, very large family, lots of nieces and nephews and brothers and sisters and cousins. But we're just going to pray that God would comfort the entire family, wherever they are, and that God would lead them who are not saved to the truth. Annetta has a praise report. She started taking steps, and that is a unbelievable blessing. And please pray that that continues. Let's see what else we got here. Carol asking for prayers for full strength to come back after COVID. Shaycaster has a praise report. Connie Hallmark, my sister, had a double bypass yesterday. We prayed for her on Wednesday night with a 96% blockage. She sounds way better on the phone. Amen. 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 And we're going to pray for her today. Shaycaster has cataract surgery on the 11th next week, and his sister Patty is being treated for a bladder infection. Lulu says, please pray for where John Henry is. They have a COVID breakout, and Marie Comfort would like prayers that she could lead just one soul today to salvation. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, and Lord, we just ask you to do for us that which we cannot do for ourselves. Alan says, praise report for Trina Harvey. She came home after 3 days in the hospital from a stroke, and she's now going through rehab. Amen. Rapture 57, please pray for my neighbors. They need healing, renewal, and the Lord's hand on their lives. Heavenly Father, all these that need healing, we ask you to heal. All these that need restoration, we ask you to restore. Father God, COVID and cancer and strokes and heart attacks and suicide, God. Now, we know that suicide doesn't send anybody to hell. If a saved person commits suicide, they may have to answer for that at the judgment seat, but suicide doesn't send anybody to hell, but it hurts families, and we pray in Street Preacher Marie's family that you would heal, Father God, and if there's any confusion there, that you would bless it from your word and give Marie an open door to witness to her family. And Father God, we just pray that you would heal there and give comfort. And Lord, for all of these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, we just come before you today, and we ask you to work and move as only you can, and we commit this time to you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Well, very, very glad that you're here today. We got a lot to talk about. We are going to talk about Joe Biden's 87,000 IRS agents. Now, just to set the record straight, this broadcast is not against taxation. Nobody likes taxation. Everybody grumbles when they have to pay their taxes. But we see taxes in the Bible. We see that Jesus did not preach against taxation. And in fact, we see that taxation is connected with the Antichrist during the time of Jacob's trouble. In, let me see if I can find this verse. Matthew 22, Turn to Matthew 22 for a second. I had told you guys last week that I wanted to start incorporating more Bible studies into these podcasts, and that's what we're trying to do here. Matthew chapter 22, and let's start reading in verse 15. Matthew 22, verse 15. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true, and teachest the way of God in truth, neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? It's a good question, though, isn't it? And when the King James Bible says, is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? In 2022, you could accurately say, is it lawful to pay your taxes or not? And look at what Jesus thought of that question. Matthew 22, 18. But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. And he saith unto them, whose is this image and superscription? They say unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. When they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. So that's what the Bible says about taxation. That's what the Bible says about paying the tribute to Caesar. Jesus says, you give Caesar what he is due, and you give God what he is due. That's exactly what the judgment seat of Christ is all about. When you and I get to the judgment seat of Christ, Jesus is going to say to us, as individuals, it's not going to be a group event. He's going to say to us as individuals, did you give unto me the things that I was due? This has nothing to do with salvation. This has to do with sanctification. When you got saved, you didn't do anything to pay for or earn your salvation. Jesus paid it all. And we play song after song after song talking about how he paid it all with God shed blood on the cross. It was not just his death. It was his blood. That blood was the payment that he made for your sin and for my sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So our podcast today, we are not talking against taxation. We are not anti-tax. In fact, ironically, Now the End Begins is a business. We are a corporation. We are not a 501c3. We pay our taxes. We pay a staggering amount of taxes. Because the Bible says, give unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and give unto God the things that are God's. And I'm not saying that churches who are a 501c3 are somehow serving the devil. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is when I pray about it, God tells me to not be a 501c3. So we're not. And all the money that people send in for the Bible programs and for the billboards and for the ministry and for just every aspect of this ministry, we pay taxes on that money. So I'm not here to preach against taxation. Joe Biden's inflation Reconciliation Act, that wants to turn the IRS into something that it's not. Now, if you've been around for a long time at Now the End Begins, you remember the 1,300 plus articles that we wrote about the corrupt Barack Obama administration. And when Barack Obama was president, the person that he placed in charge of the IRS was a woman by the name of Lois Lerner. And she was fired from her job. And there was a huge scandal because she was using the IRS to unfairly target members of the Tea Party. Take a listen to this.
Tea Party attorney Jay Sekulow, he represents some 38 groups who say that they were unfairly targeted by the IRS. The president, as you know, Jay, is saying, not so. Let's move on. What do you think?
Yeah, well, a U.S. Court of Appeals in the District of Columbia has acknowledged the targeting scheme. And here's the other thing. The president keeps saying it didn't happen, but the Lois Lerner admitted it happened. She said that they targeted based on names and policy
positions.
So what
was he saying, Jay? That's what confused me. Now, what was the president saying to say, this is a funding issue, this is, it's a bad law, obviously dropping that on Congress's lap, but what is he saying?
Yeah. Yeah, a bad law that's been around since 1954, by the way. I mean, please. And I guess it wasn't a bad law when all the left-wing, left-of-center groups got their tax exemption. It wasn't such a bad law then, including groups that supported the president. But here's the reality. Let's look at what we do know. Regardless of the emails that we can't find, we do know from emails that we have found that, in fact, Lois Lerner was in cahoots with the Department of Justice to, in their words, quote, piece together, this is what she said, potential criminal cases against our clients for exercising their freedom of speech. So the president should not have said what he's, but he's been doing this. He did it with Bill O'Reilly. He did this. He's in a state of denial. His own Justice Department is supposedly still investigating this criminally. So I guess the president's playing prosecutor and jury here, but it's his IRS that's done this, and they should be held accountable.
Well, I think ready interview, to your point, whether you agree or disagree, whatever your politics are, he has to check with all his chiefs and say, where do we stand on this if it ever comes out?
Yeah.
Just doing your homework, you know?
But Okay. And he would find out if he checked with his Department of Justice, supposedly, there's an ongoing investigation. He would also find out that in a case called Z Street, which was targeted because they were a pro-Israel group, they were targeted because they took a position different than the administration's on the Middle East. They were targeted. The IRS admitted the targeting here. The FEC and the Department of Justice were in conversations with Lois Lerner and the IRS. So this is, the president could say all this he wants, but the reality is, Neil, at the end of the day, and you've been covering this for a long time, we already have the smoke. We already have the fire. We'd like to get the rest of the evidence because I suspect it's a five-alarm fire when we see the rest of these emails.
Yeah, especially when these agencies themselves launch an investigation into said five-alarm fire. Jay, thank you very, very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Neil.
So there you have Jay Sekulow from about 8 years ago, 7 years ago, talking about the IRS scandal with Lois Lerner. And of course, Obama denied the whole thing, but she got booted out because they got caught unfairly targeting people who were members of the Tea Party. So here in 2022, it looks like Joe Biden wants to use the IRS to turn it into something that it's not supposed to be. It's supposed to collect taxes, is what the IRS is supposed to do. It's supposed to give back refunds to people that it's owed to. It is not supposed to become a judge and a jury type of thing. But that's exactly what this Inflation Reduction Act reconciliation bill is attempting to turn the IRS into. And let me just read a little bit of this to you. It's really quite astonishing. And it says here, the Democrats want to have the IRS create a comprehensive financial account reporting regime to track the withdrawals and deposits of bank accounts, investment accounts, Venmo, PayPal, and Cash App accounts of American individuals. But then it also wants to take the way that taxes are collected. They are done voluntarily. Now, if you don't pay your taxes, they come for you. But you have the ability to file your taxes. You can file them yourself. You can go to H&R Block. You can have your accountant do it. However you choose to file your taxes, you can do a paper file. You can do an e-file. However you choose to do that, currently they let you do that. But under this new bill, if it gets passed into law, it is going to file your taxes for you, is what it's going to do. It's going to calculate what they say that you owe. It is going to file taxes based on what they say that you owe. And then it's going to be up to you to try to get the money back if they've taken too much out. Now, what all this has to do with climate change? I mean, really? Climate change? But this is how you know that these people are corrupt. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to force this bill on you. Now, I'm sure it's just a coincidence, but this bill has been a longtime pet project of people like socialist Bernie Sanders and socialist Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, currently serving in the Senate and Congress, respectively. And they have been lobbying for a long time to replace the existing system of voluntary compliance, where Americans are responsible for filling out their own tax returns, with a system where the government assesses and files the taxes for you. Now, do you think that the IRS should have this much power? No, that's a rhetorical question. Don't answer that. No agency deserves that type of power. Take a listen to what Ted Cruz said the other day. He's pretty spot on.
All right. Joining us this evening, great pleasure, Senator Ted Cruz from the great state of Texas. Senator Cruz, always, sir, it's great to see you. Can we just start? I mean, there's so many things to talk about, but let's talk about the IRS. I mean, this is taxation and coercion, and I hate conservatives without any representation at all. And this is in, and I didn't know this, Senator, but the Wall Street Journal editorial said that the allocation of $80 billion is six times their current budget. I did not know that, so that makes it even worse.
So before we get to what Ted Cruz is going to say, and it's pretty good, the amount of money that Joe Biden wants to give to the IRS to create this system is 600% more than the current budget that they have right now.
Anyway, have you looked into this monstrosity?
So I have. It is a terrible bill. There are many aspects of it that are terrible, but one of the ones you just asked about, this bill funds 87,000 new IRS agents. Imagine IRS agents descending upon America like a swarm of locusts. And by the way, these IRS agents aren't there to go after billionaires. They're there to go after you. They're there to go after your small business. They're there to go after your family. The Democrats' idea is if they audit the hell out of every American, think of all the money they can raise. Now, I got to say, as I've traveled Texas, as I've traveled the country, I've heard the people yearning for a lot of things in America. I've never once heard someone say, what we need is more IRS agents. I mean, this is big government run amok. And if you don't want to be audited next year and the year after and the year after, and by the way, if you're a Republican donor, this corrupt administration will audit you next year and the year after and the year after, we ought to kill this terrible, terrible bill.
Yeah, you know, first of all, they're scoring this. The CBO has it in their latest documents, but they're scoring this as a plus, I don't know, $150 billion from the 86 or 87,000 new agents, which is all a bunch of malarkey. We've seen this movie before, and it never plays out. But can I come back to your other point? Who do you think they're going to go after? They're going to go after small, unincorporated, you know, pass-through, subchapter S business, making $200,000 or less, can't afford all the high-priced legal fees to take the IRS into court. And, Senator, They're going to go after conservatives. The memory of Lois Lerner lingers on. I just want to put that in. I don't know who the Lois Lerners are now in the IRS, but I will bet you in that deep state agency, there are Lois Lerners.
Well, you know, this bill, there are clear winners and there are clear losers. The losers are manufacturers. The losers are small businesses. The losers are blue-collar workers. That's who they're targeting. The winners are Democratic lobbyists, IRS agents, and California environmentalist billionaires. And it really is quite amazing. So you look at, for example, what they're calling the corporate minimum tax. As you know, the most important part of the 2017 tax cuts, what was allowing for immediate expensing of capital expenditures. So if you're a small business, let's say you're an auto manufacturer, and you go and build a new line to make new cars and make new trucks, you could immediately expense that, which means you have an incentive to invest capital and hire a bunch of new workers. What this bill is saying is, you know what, we don't want you to open a new line. We don't want new manufacturing. You're not going to hire those workers. By the way, if you're a union member right now, you're getting screwed in this bill because it will dramatically reduce investment in new jobs. And I'll tell you something else. There's an element of this bill that is particularly noxious. It's buried in there, which is the Democrats are trying to overturn the Supreme Court's West Virginia versus EPA victory came just a month ago, where the court concluded the EPA didn't have the ability to rewrite our environmental laws to regulate carbon. Apparently, Joe Manchin has cut a deal with Chuck Schumer to slip into this bill language overturning that decision, which empowers the EPA to destroy your job. And I'll tell you, there's no group that is getting hammered more by this terrible bill than coal miners in West Virginia. It is insane that when we're facing a recession and skyrocketing inflation, the Democrats are saying, let's hit working men and women even harder so we can pay off our lobbyist billionaire buddies.
Senator, can you expand? I'm not aware of this. To overturn West Virginia versus EPA. I don't know what the language is. You are a legal scholar. How does this, what are they saying? What's in here? Because I think you're breaking some news here.
So what the Supreme Court concluded is that the Clean Air Act doesn't specify regulating carbon dioxide. And they concluded that this is a major policy shift. And if Congress intends to make a major policy shift, Congress has to do it, not unelected bureaucrats. That was a great victory for manufacturers, for small businesses, for energy consumers. But of course, radical environmentalists hate it. So what this bill does is it writes in place several times, carbon, carbon, carbon. It writes it into the EPA law so that they can go back and say, well, now Congress has done this. And apparently Manchin's cut a deal where he's gotten a promise for a pipeline sometime in the future in West Virginia. And in exchange for that, the coal miners all get screwed. And he basically puts the coal industry out of business and drives oil and gas prices in America up dramatically. Consumers are getting the short end of the stick on this. And it's a power grab by the radical left. I don't know why Joe got...
So we'll just stop him right there. I just wanted you to hear that whole clip in context. And Ted Cruz is exactly correct when he talks about a power grab for the radical left. It is not likely that this bill will pass, but you never know. You never know. So I don't advocate for being overly political here. We are biblical rather than political. We use politics to show you what's happening with the end times. But if you want to reach out to your local congressman and senator and to tell them how much you do not approve of this Inflation Reconciliation Act, now would be a good time to do it. Because I can't imagine what would it be like? I mean, think about it. Didn't we just go through 872 days of 15 days to flatten the curve? And isn't the economy still taking a pounding? Aren't we technically in a recession? Isn't gasoline still about $1.55 higher than it was per gallon when Joe Biden took office? aren't businesses still trying to recover from the lockdowns and the pandemic and all the social distancing and all that junk and all that garbage? There's restaurants here in St. Augustine that did not make it through the pandemic and they had to shut down. One restaurant had been in business for 50 years and they couldn't make it through the pandemic. And it wasn't just about being locked down, but with all the social distancing and the masking and all that stuff, it made it impossible for businesses that use servers, waiters and waitresses, makes it impossible to do business. So we are still in serious financial difficulty as a nation. Jobs are down, the economy's down, inflation is up. This is not a time to be hiring 87,000 IRS agents so that they can start going through the bank accounts of millions of hurting people to see if they underpaid by a couple of bucks. And the IRS should not be turned in to this type of attack dog agency. And again, we are not anti-tax. The Bible is not anti-tax. But this bill by Joe Biden is bad. It is terrible. And if it gets passed, it's going to be huge problems. Huge, huge, huge problems. And if it does get passed, don't think for a second that the red wave is going to undo it. You don't see a whole lot of laws getting undone when the opposing party sweeps into power. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. Just remember, Donald Trump didn't fire Anthony Fauci. He could have. He didn't. Why not? These are all pretty good questions. Anyway, I was telling you earlier that a global tax is connected with Antichrist, and I want to just talk about that for a couple of minutes, because a global tax is absolutely connected with the coming of Antichrist. So let's take a look at a couple of verses in the Bible that clearly show you that you can expect a global tax when Antichrist shows up. Get Luke chapter 2 in one hand and Daniel 11 in the other hand. Luke chapter 2 and Daniel 11. Here's a fun fact. At the first advent of Jesus Christ, there was a global tax in place that was instituted by Caesar Augustus, who was a type of Antichrist. We read about that in Luke chapter 2 in your King James Bible. Another fun fact comes to us from the prophet Daniel, who tells us clearly that prior to the second advent of Jesus Christ, a second global tax will be in place with the appearing of Antichrist. The Biden administration, the only remaining holdout to a digital global tax that was rejected under President Trump, they signed off on that. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Luke 2, 1 through 3. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. Now, if you're reading this with an NIV, a ESV, it doesn't say tax. It says census. And the Gospels clearly show that a census did take place and they were taxed. So in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, your King James Bible shows you that there was a global tax in place at the first coming of Jesus Christ. Now look at Daniel chapter 11, verses 20 and 21. Daniel 11, 20 and 21. Then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom. but within few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle, and his estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. Now, the reason why all of the corrupt New Bible versions remove the word tax from Luke chapter 2 and they replace it with a census is to break the prophetical references so you won't connect the coming digital global tax with the New World Order and the appearing of Antichrist. And we did an article back on February 27th of 2021 that showed you that the Biden administration signed on with the rest of the nations of the world to agree to a global tax. And they are still hammering out the details of that. But suffice to say that a global tax is in the works. And it is going to be popping out on the scene sooner rather than later. So all of these things are connected with end times Bible prophecy, even the taxes. And that's why you see a global tax at the first advent of Jesus, and you're going to see a global tax at the second advent of Jesus Christ. And that's what they're working on right now. Let's see what else we got here today. Oh, remember when Nancy Pelosi went to Taiwan last week? And remember when everybody was afraid that there was going to be a inevitable takeover of Taiwan? Well, it looks like that is in the works right now.
The U.S. Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, has concluded her controversial trip to Taiwan. China responded to the visit by conducting a round of military drills in seas around Taiwan, some of which China admits may breach Taiwan's territorial waters. Joining us live now is the political scientist at the University of Virginia, Larry Sabato. Larry, good morning to you. So do you think military drills will be it in terms of a response?
Well, I think we all hope so. And the people who follow this most closely say that is the likely response. China has gotten over worse before, so I suppose that can happen again. This was really unexpected that the reaction would be as strong as it already has been.
From China?
From China, yes.
It could, I suppose, you know, people were talking about a whole lot more. I mean, potentially the firing of missiles into waters. So it could be worse, though, right?
Oh, it could be worse, but that doesn't really serve China's interests. This is a Speaker of the House of Representatives who will almost certainly be retiring as of next year. And it's not as though other speakers haven't visited, although the last one was a long time ago. Conservative Newt Gingrich visited Taiwan. So, you know, I think basically it was a lot of bark and not very much bite. And again, that's our hope.
So she was right to go, in your view?
Oh, she's been very consistent about this. Yes, I see no problem with it. And by the way, the Biden administration was more upset with her than Republicans were. Half of the Republican U.S. Senate caucus issued a congratulatory statement to her, thanking her for going, headed by Mitch McConnell, the minority leader.
So what does this mean, big picture, Larry, if China sees this as an offense? Right, that a high-profile, high-ranking official has gone from the U.S., the highest in a long time, as we just talked about, went to Taiwan, and all that China has conducted is a couple of military drills in its waters. What does that say to you?
Well, it says that they understand there would be a tremendous price to pay if they escalated matters beyond that. It doesn't mean they never will, and some are fearful that eventually a military takeover or attempted takeover of Taiwan is inevitable. But for China, there are going to be major costs too. And I should add, both parties in the United States are pretty anti-China. That is one subject, one topic that actually unites Democrats and Republicans.
What's your view on a timeline in terms of when you think, because I think most people, like you just said there, believe it's an inevitability that China will, it wants Taiwan back. Have you got a timeline on when you think that might happen?
No, I suspect if they were to do it, they would do it at a time when the United States and its allies were busy with other world problems and probably had their hands full militarily and otherwise. They would do it at a time when they thought they could get away with it easiest. I don't know that there will ever be such a time, but if you're going to do it, you would do it with a weakened president and a weakened set of allies.
Yeah, I know it was said this morning that some provocations are necessary. This is a point that was made about Nancy Pelosi's visit. Do you agree with that?
I do. And, you know, she has had a very tough view on China since Tiananmen Square. And she's demonstrated it in Tiananmen Square even before she was speaker. So this is not a surprise. It is consistent with her entire record and is being supported by large groups of both parties.
So there you have it. It's looking more and more like China is going to do something in response to Pelosi's visit. This article here says China conducts precision missile strikes in Taiwan Strait. Shortly after Pelosi left, China conducted precision missile strikes yesterday in waters off of Taiwan's coast as part of military exercises that have raised tensions in the region to their highest levels following Pelosi's visit. China had announced that military exercises by its Navy, Air Force, and other departments were underway in six zones surrounding Taiwan, which Beijing claims as its own territory to be annexed by force if necessary. And speaking of international wars, isn't it funny how the Russian invasion of Ukraine is suddenly nobody's talking about it? I'm looking at four or five different websites right now, news websites. There's not one article on what's happening in the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Not one article anywhere. And I talked about this last week, but the more and more that this thing drags on and we see Russia using conscripts instead of soldiers and the $54 billion that got funneled to Ukraine, this is really shaping up to me, in my opinion, to be one of the phoniest looking. I wouldn't even call it a false flag. It's just phony. It's just absolute. Now, obviously, people are really getting shot and killed. Stuff is getting blown up. I'm not saying that it's not taking place. I'm just simply saying, does this seem like any other type of war? If you've been alive for more than 30, 40 years and you've seen a number of wars take place, does this seem like any other type of war that you've ever seen? I mean, it totally seems like a cover for something else. And it's devolved to the point where nobody's even talking about it now. And I even hadn't realize that people had stopped talking about it until I'm playing this clip on China and Taiwan, and I'm thinking to myself, wait a second, whatever happened to Russia and Ukraine? Did that ever stop? And that's the type of world that we live in. We live in a news cycle that is, turn to Daniel chapter 12. We live in a time period where there is so much news washing in that it washes in, it washes over, and washes out. And the new stuff replaces the old stuff, and a couple of days go by, and you can't even remember what the old stuff was. Daniel 12, 1 through 4. Daniel 12, 1 through 4. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, Jacob's trouble, such as was never since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. So, as we approach that time, what do we see? We see the establishment of a worldwide system of instantaneous information, the World Wide Web, the Internet. Daniel 12:4 says that knowledge shall be increased. And it used to be, when I was a kid, you had to wait for either the 6 o'clock news or you had to wait for the evening paper. And I know that sounds like something from a movie, or maybe I'm just making that up. But when I was a teenager and I had a newspaper route, there used to be papers that were delivered in the morning, and that same paper would have an evening edition. And in the 1960s and 70s, if you wanted to find out in the evening what had been going on during the day, the vast majority of people got their information from the 6 o'clock news, because that's when people came home from work, or they got it from their evening newspaper. Now, the vast majority of newspaper companies have gone out of business because the internet has put them out of business. There is no, well, I don't want to say that. There certainly might be papers with a evening edition, but there's certainly not many of them. Certainly not many of them. But when I was a kid, that's, you had to get your information that way. Now, all you have to do is go to Twitter and see what's trending, and you will know what's happening in any nation on the face of the earth, not after it happened, but while it is happening. And certainly that's what Daniel 12:4 was pointing to, that knowledge shall be increased. And we walk around with these smartphones, smart devices, watches, and we are literally living in a time that, when I was in high school, this was fantasy. The idea, the old Dick Tracy comic books where he spoke into his wristwatch and he was able to communicate with his fellow detectives and police officers, and they could solve crimes by talking into his watch. Well, that's exactly the time period that we live in right now. And I've played this clip before, but I'll play it again. Back in the 60s and 70s, there was a man, he was a news anchor, and he was called the most trusted man in America. His name was Walter Cronkite, and he was a news anchor for CBS Evening News for many decades. And whatever he said, people believed. They didn't even question it. He was called the most trusted man in America. Take a listen to what he said shortly after he retired.
World government is the structure necessary for global justice.
I'm in a position to speak my mind, and by God, I'm going to do it. First, we Americans are going to have to yield up some of our sovereignty. That's going to be, to many, a bitter pill. Today, we must develop federal structures on a global level to deal with world problems. We need a system of enforceable world law, a democratic federal world government. Most important, we should sign and ratify the Treaty for a Permanent International Criminal Court. Pat Robertson has written in a book a few years ago that we should have a world government, but only when the Messiah arrives. He wrote, and literally, any attempt to achieve world order before that time must be the work of the devil. Well, join me. I'm glad to sit here at the right hand of Satan.
Yes, those were the actual words. Nothing was edited. Those were the actual words of the most trusted man in America, Walter Cronkite. And he was an absolute advocate for world government, for a world criminal court. He said that if he was doing the work of the devil, he was happy to be doing it. Aunt Nancy just posted in the chat room, if anyone has used Got Questions and actually sent them a question, they respond with the NIV response. Absolutely. You got to watch out. Very, very few ministries use King James only. And I won't say that we are the only one, because obviously we are not the only one. But I'll tell you, large ministries like Now the End Begins, dealing with, well, we just celebrated 100 million visits to the website. I would consider that a fairly large ministry. But the number of large Christian ministries that are King James only, I would say, is 0.1%. And I have interacted with the people from Got Questions. I use that site from time to time. It's a good resource, but you have to translate because they don't respond with the King James. So you just have to watch out. You have to be careful. But I have been King James only for the last 31 years, and I am happy to say that by the grace of God, I'll be King James only till the Lord comes and calls for me. And, you know, we are not ashamed of that. We are absolutely not ashamed of that. And, you know, let me just talk about the free Bible program for a second. When you support the free Bible program and our Bibles Behind Bars program, we are not just sending out Bibles to people for free. We are sending out King James Bibles to people for free. And that, to me, is something that is very, very, very rare. Just this week, we sent out, I want to tell you who we sent out Bibles to. Just this week, we sent out 10 cases of Bibles, 500 Gospels of John, and 500 Book of Romans portions to Faith Baptist Church in Colonial Heights, Virginia. We're sending out 3 cases of King James Bibles to the John B. Connolly Detention Unit in Kennedy, Texas. And we're sending out 10 cases of Bibles to Bangalore, India. Pastor Felix Pinto has requested Bibles, and we're sending out 10 cases of King James Bibles to Bangalore, India. And, of course, we sent out this week 1,100 Bibles to the South Texas ICE Processing Center, where the people who cross the borders and they get detained. And I told you that I got an email from a Rene Gonzalez. Now, I have to make a correction here. I said something the other day that was not true, and I have to fix it. It's kind of funny, but when I got that email from Rene Gonzalez, I just automatically assumed that was a woman. I should have been suspicious when the name was spelled R-E-N-E and not R-E-N-E-E. But I received this email just yesterday. Good afternoon. I heard your message this morning and hearing about the Bibles that you sent to the South Texas ICE Processing Center just made my day. Also, I want to thank you for giving me and my wife, Rachel, and he says in parentheses, yes, I am a man, the strength and faith for not getting the vaccines, amen, at our place of employment. They started to demand the vaccine or lose our job. And Renee says that him and his wife, Rachel, they stood in their faith because they know who their trust is in. Isn't that a blessing? So, Rene Gonzalez is a man, not a woman. He's married to Rachel. And he's the person that requested the 1,100 Spanish King James Bibles. And he wrote to me yesterday and said what a blessing it was that we were willing to send him those Bibles. He said the churches said no. Can you imagine that? The churches said no. But we said yes. And I had no idea that he was being told that if he didn't take the jab, he was going to lose his job. And Renee says that because he listens to Now the End Begins, that he had the faith and the courage to say no. And God protected him, protected his job. He didn't lose his job. He didn't have to take the jab. Well, if you're listening, brother, I just want to say what an encouragement your letter to me was. And to the fight. Absolutely to the fight. And please keep our Bibles Behind Bars programs in your prayers. We need lots of prayers. I was talking with a couple of brothers yesterday, and I said, please pray for me for wisdom. There's a lot at stake. There's a lot on the table. The Lord is greatly expanding what we're doing. And so if you guys would pray for me that the Lord would continue to give me wisdom to know what to do, I could imagine that at some point we might get a request from somebody that's a fake request looking to resell the Bibles they get for free from us on Amazon. Fortunately, that has not happened yet. But please, please, please pray for me that God would continue to give me wisdom to know who it is that I'm talking to in any aspect of this ministry, on any level, that God would give me wisdom. And I really appreciate all your prayers. And I really hope that we never have to say no to a request for Bibles. We've given out about 3,000 Bibles in the last 2 weeks. Isn't that amazing? 3,000 free Bibles in the last 2 weeks. And to me, that is a huge blessing. So please keep our free Bible program in your prayers. Please, if God puts on your heart to donate, please donate and be generous. Costs a lot of money to send out these free Bibles. But I absolutely believe that that's what God would have us as a church family to do. All right, getting back to the podcast, let's take a listen. Tucker Carlson, I call him the last truth teller in the mainstream media. He's not really a Christian. Well, he may be a Christian. He's not a Bible believer. And for somebody who's not a Bible believer, he really takes some amazing stances. And yesterday, he was taking a few shots at everybody's favorite villain, George Soros. Take a listen to Tucker exposing George Soros.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. When a Hungarian financier called George Soros shorted the English pound 30 years ago, back in 1992, the British government fought back. It did everything it could to preserve the value of its national currency. British officials raised interest rates all the way to 15%. The Bank of England then sold $40 billion of foreign currency reserves in a desperate effort to prop up the pound. In the end, of course, it didn't work. The Bank of England collapsed. Total cost to the population of Great Britain? Well, that's hard to measure, but it was at least 3 billion pounds. This at a time when a pound was worth nearly $2.50. It's now at $1.20, which tells you a lot. So the UK got poorer. But not George Soros. His fund made off with $1 billion in profit, $1 billion, for creating nothing, only destroying things. In the years since, Soros has become richer still, billions and billions of dollars richer. George Soros has become so rich that at this point, Western governments rarely fight back when he interferes in their most basic domestic affairs, the most important domestic affairs. In 2015, for example, Soros decided that Europe had to resettle millions of penniless refugees from Africa and the Middle East. Relatively few Europeans wanted this to happen at all, but George Soros wanted it. So he spent more than $500 million pushing NGOs and European governments to accept what turned out to be a massive wave of human migration. So what happened next? What's the second part of the story? Well, there was a humanitarian crisis. That crisis is still going on. Life in Europe got much worse. Have you been to Paris lately? You should visit. Violent crime, particularly rapes, skyrocketed. And yet, European politicians, many of them funded by Soros, refused to acknowledge it. Look away, they said. This isn't happening. You're crazy or a criminal for noticing. So for the past several years, something not so different has been happening in our country. George Soros has decided to destroy the American justice system. And he's doing it with prosecutors. By this point, fully one in five Americans, that's more than 70 million people, now live in a jurisdiction overseen by a Soros-backed prosecutor. Soros DAs run cities like New York, Chicago, St. Louis, New Orleans, Philadelphia, Los Angeles, our biggest cities. They also run places like Travis County, Texas, and Hinds County, Mississippi, and Loudoun County, Virginia, Chatham County, Georgia. All of them have Soros-backed prosecutors. Soros' influence comes in the form of campaign financing. The money comes from Soros' open society foundations and affiliated political action committees and shell companies. A recent analysis by the Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund found that in total, more than 75 Soros-backed prosecutors currently hold office in the United States. To get those people in those jobs, Soros has spent more than $40 billion. Often, he's the largest donor in the race. In the race in Philadelphia, for example, 90% of now DA Larry Krasner's financing came from George Soros. Again, what happened next? Drive through Center City, Philadelphia sometime, and you'll see. Soros prosecutors refuse to enforce the law against protected groups. That is their signature quality. That's the heart of their ideology. The result of this has been a lot of posturing, but even more murder victims. A lot of people have died. Last year, Philadelphia recorded its highest homicide total in history. Overall, nationally, according to the FBI, homicides in the United States jumped 30% in 2020. That is the largest single-year increase in murders in American history. All because one billionaire decided that laws American citizens voted for and support were racist. Does that sound like democracy to you? Of course it's not democracy. Democracy is a system in which the will of the majority is recognized and often acted upon. The people rule. What we just described is oligarchy. At best, it's grotesque and has killed a lot of people. You're probably aware of this on some level, and it's frustrating to hear. But until a few hours ago, no one had really done anything about it. But then today, Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida, a man who, unlike George Soros, has actually been elected by American voters, decided to sack a Soros-backed prosecutor in his...
So I'll just stop Tucker there for a moment. At Now the End Begins, for the last 12 years, you can go to nowtheendbegins.com, and under the news section, if you go to far-left liberals, you will see a whole category for George Soros. Just go to nowtheendbegins.com under news, far left liberals, and you will see an entire category for George Soros. And we've been writing about Soros for many, many years now, and he has spent hundreds of millions of dollars to change the way that politics and things are done and our system of justice operates here in America. We told you back in 2013, 2015, 2016 that George Soros had spent tens of millions of dollars promoting the race riots in St. Louis. He actually paid to have buses of protesters come in under the cover of darkness. He has paid enormous amounts of money to put district attorneys and different people in the local and federal level into power to carry out his far left socialist, communist, fascist agenda. George Soros is a terrible, terrible person. Now, I think you should pray for his salvation, but George Soros, he's not a good guy. And after you hear this clip from Ron DeSantis, I want to show you where George Soros, I'm going to play a clip where he admits collaborating with the Nazis as a teenager in World War II.
State, who's been relentlessly politicizing the justice system in Tampa. That man's name is Andrew Warren. For 6 years, Warren has refused to enforce laws that George Soros doesn't like. Today, that ended. Watch.
The prosecutor, state attorney for this judicial circuit, Andrew Warren, has put himself publicly above the law. In June of 2021, he signed a letter saying that he would not enforce any prohibitions on sex change operations for minors. And then most recently, after the Dobbs decision was rendered by the U.S. Supreme Court, he signed a letter saying he would not enforce any laws relating to protecting the right to life in the state of Florida. And mind you, we have had prohibition on third trimester abortions for a long time. When you make yourself above the law, you have violated your duty, you have neglected your duty, and you are displaying a lack of competence to be able to perform those duties. And so today we are suspending State Attorney Andrew Warren effective immediately.
So to be clear, in case you missed civics class, prosecutors don't get to make the laws. Prosecutors enforce the laws. They prosecute people for violating the laws. Legislatures make laws. Your representatives are elected by you to write into law the rules that you support. You get to create the parameters of your own society. That's called democracy. But when a prosecutor decides which laws are valid and which laws are not, that is the most basic subversion of democracy. And Andrew Warren has done that for 6 years. And by the way, the list that Governor DeSantis just read is just partial. Andrew Warren also decided that he would not enforce HB 1. That's a law that increased penalties for rioters. Warren refused to prosecute 67 BLM rioters in the summer of 2020. He said there had been no breach of the peace in Tampa when there most certainly had been. But he decided to ignore it because he agreed with their politics. More recently, Warren declined to prosecute a gang member accused of shooting into a house with children inside after shooting somebody else. Turns out the gang member was oppressed and, of course, also likely a Biden voter. So he got a pass. People who aren't Biden voters have had a much tougher time in Andrew Warren's jurisdiction. Sincere Christians, for example. Andrew Warren considers them criminals. 2 years ago, Warren had a Tampa pastor arrested for the crime of holding a church service. And then he bragged about it. Watch.
A defiant Florida pastor arrested for openly, blatantly violating a ban on large gatherings continuing to hold Sunday church services.
It's not about a virus. It's about the church being a essential service to the community.
Pastor Rodney Howard Brown of the River Church in Tampa is accused of ignoring local safe-at-home orders, encouraging hundreds of parishioners to show up. Howard Brown insists he was within his rights.
Ignore the garbage news coverage. What you have here is a pastor arrested for holding a church service. This is the criminal Andrew Warren decided to prosecute. Not the gang member shooting into a building with kids inside. No, a Christian minister reading the Bible in public. Now, as ABC told you, that pastor insists he's within his rights. But there's no insisting necessary in this case. It is prima facie true. If the First Amendment doesn't protect church services, it doesn't protect anything. Of course, this pastor and all pastors are within their rights to preach. There is no adult debate about that. But Andrew Warren didn't care. He doesn't like pastors like that because pastors like that believe in a power higher than George Soros. So he tried to send that man to jail.
So what Tucker is saying is that George Soros has spent the last couple of years and many tens of millions of dollars installing people like Andrew Warren who are going to rule in favor of the progressive socialist communist agenda that is promoted by people like Bernie Sanders, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the entire Democratic Party, George Soros, all those people. And Ron DeSantis here in Florida is one of the only governors with enough guts to stand up and to say, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to put up with that. And don't underestimate the power of George Soros. He has an unbelievable amount of money. An absolutely incredible amount of money and power and influence. We told you last year that he started a business with Bill Gates for COVID test kits and other medical devices. I can only imagine what would be produced by the union of George Soros and Bill Gates. It would be like if Baal and Molech had a baby, you know, what would it be? And it's just two men that are evil personified. Speaking of evil personified, George Soros, a number of years ago, before the takeoff of the internet age, he was on a 60 Minutes interview, and he said that the years that he spent helping the Nazis to put Jews in the concentration camps was some of the best years of his life. I'll say that again. George Soros said in an interview on 60 Minutes that the years that he spent helping the Nazis put his fellow Jews into concentration camps were some of the best years of his life.
You're a Hungarian Jew who escaped the Holocaust by posing as a Christian.
Right.
And you watched lots of people get shipped off to the death camps.
Right. I was 14 years old. And I would say that that's when my character was made.
In what way?
That one should think ahead, one should understand and anticipate events. One is threatened. It was a tremendous threat of evil. I mean, it was a very personal experience of evil.
My understanding is that you went out with this protector of yours who swore that you were his adopted godson.
Yes, yes.
Went out, in fact, and helped in the confiscation of property from the Jews.
That's right. Yes.
I mean, that sounds like an experience that would send lots of people to the psychiatric couch for many, many years. Was it difficult?
Not at all. Not at all. Maybe as a child, you don't see the connection. But it created no problem at all.
No feeling of guilt.
No.
For example, that I'm Jewish, and here I am watching these people go. I could just as easily be there. I should be there. None of that.
Well, of course, I could be on the other side, or I could be the one from whom the thing is being taken away. But there was no sense that I shouldn't be there, because that was... well, actually, funny way, it's just like in markets, that if I weren't there, of course I wasn't doing it, but somebody else would be taking it away anyhow. In other words, whether I was there or not, I was only a spectator, the property was being taken away. So I had no role in taking away that property. So I had no sense of guilt.
And there you have George Soros telling you that he has no sense of guilt working with the Nazis as a teenager, pretending to be a Christian, and working to see that his fellow Jews got taken away to the concentration camps. That's what he said. He said he was just a spectator, but he was not a spectator. He was a participant, and the Nazis rewarded him for the work that he did for them. And George Soros, when you want to talk about Revelation 2:9, that's what I think of when I think of George Soros. Revelation chapter 2, verse 9, I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say that they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. And George Soros is absolutely, to me, when I think of that verse, Revelation 2:9, I think of George Soros. He's genetically Jewish, but in name only. And what he did to his fellow Jews in World War II is absolutely mind-boggling. And he is a wicked, evil, evil person. He's 91 years old. He won't be around much longer. But his son, Alex, he's going to be getting all the money, and he's going to be carrying on the work of his father. Now, speaking about things that are wicked and evil, we did an article yesterday on how Prince Charles was the keynote speaker. He opened up what's called the 2022 Birmingham Commonwealth Games over in the United Kingdom. And this takes place every year, the Commonwealth Games. And we posted a video on YouTube, and if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend that you go to our YouTube channel or just go to nowtheendbegins.com and click on the article. And you can see for yourself this unbelievable 32-meter-high, fiery, glowing electronic bull that was the hallmark of the 2022 Commonwealth Games. And a whole lot of people commented yesterday that it really looked like Baal worship. And if you haven't seen the video, please go and see that video. But in the article, I make the connection of how ironic that it is that Prince Charles is the one who is overseeing this satanic-looking electronic bull with the fiery red eyes and snorting out smoke through his nostrils. And just last year, Prince Charles said this:
"We have an incredible opportunity to create entirely new sustainable industries, investing in nature as the true engine of our economy."
The current global crisis has disrupted every aspect of our lives, but it has also presented us with an extraordinary opportunity, a chance to reset and accelerate efforts to improve the state of our world.
Changing our current trajectory will require bold and imaginative action, together with determination and decisive leadership. In order to secure our future and to prosper, we need to evolve our economic model, putting people and planet at the heart of global value creation. If there is one critical lesson we have to learn from this crisis, we need to put nature at the heart of how we operate. We are on the verge of catalytic breakthroughs that will alter our view of what is possible and profitable within the framework of a sustainable future. We need nothing short of a paradigm shift, one that inspires action at revolutionary levels and pace. We simply cannot waste any more time. The only limit is our willingness to act. So, ladies and gentlemen, my plea today is for countries to come together to create the environment that enables every sector of industry to take the action required. We know this will take trillions, not billions, of dollars. We also know that countries, many of whom are burdened by growing levels of debt, simply cannot afford to go green. Here we need a vast military-style campaign to marshal the strength of the global private sector, with trillions at its disposal, far beyond global GDP, and with the greatest respect, beyond even the governments of the world's leaders. It offers the only real prospect of achieving fundamental economic transition. And the time to act is now.
So that's why I said it was a little bit on the ironic side that Prince Charles was the man that was overseeing the Baal worship at the 2022 Commonwealth Games. And just last year, he made those comments about a mysterious unnamed man who needs to receive trillions of dollars so that he can operate a military-style campaign. Now, of course, when you go to the Book of Daniel, you see right away who that man is that Prince Charles was talking about. That man is the Antichrist. And we are so close to the revealing of the man of sin. And yes, we still say it's Emmanuel Macron, but again, that's just opinion. We could be wrong. But we are so close, so very close to the revealing of the man of sin that we are watching an unsaved world prepare themselves to receive Antichrist. And when you understand that, that what you're watching is an unsaved world preparing themselves to receive Antichrist, when you understand that, then just about every wacky headline, every unbelievable video, and all this end times craziness that is happening all around us 24 hours a day, every day, all of that begins to make sense. Because you realize that this world is preparing itself, not for Jesus Christ. The Bible believers, the born-again Christians, we are the ones who are preparing ourselves to meet Jesus Christ. But this unsaved world, they are preparing themselves to meet Antichrist. There's a church in New York City called Grace Church, and they have a school attached. It's called Grace Church High School. And there is a drag queen by the name of Britta Filter. there's a drag queen by the name of Britta Filter, and he was the preacher last week at Grace Church in New York City. And if you watch the video, you can go to nowtheendbegins.com and you'll see the article. But can you imagine an entire church filled with people and this drag queen comes prancing and skipping down the aisle and everybody in the church is wildly applauding and approving of what they're watching and of what they're seeing? Do you realize that the church of the end times, not going to be a Christian church, the rapture removes the church. There's no Christians in the tribulation. There's no Christians in the time of Jacob's trouble. There are just Jew and Gentile tribulation saints. But there's no Christians in the time of Jacob's trouble. The church is removed. But there is going to be a church. There is no question about that. There is no doubt about that. And that church is going to be the end times church of the Antichrist. And that is going to have, they are going to have temple prostitutes as part of the worship service. They are going to have idol worship. It is going to be the most unbelievably, mind-numbingly insane time to wrap your head around. But there are no Christians in the time of Jacob's trouble. There are no Christians in the Great Tribulation. But there will be a church. There will be an anointed one. But it won't be the anointed one. A lot of people don't realize, turn to Ezekiel chapter 28. A lot of people don't realize that Lucifer was anointed. And that's why I get so mad at these modern versions that they take away the title of Messiah from Jesus Christ and they call him an anointed one. Well, the devil was an anointed one. Ezekiel 28, verse 13. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emeralds, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Satan, Lucifer, was an anointed one. So if your Bible calls Jesus Christ an anointed one, I would take that Bible and I would throw it in the garbage as quickly as you could possibly do that. Now, you might say to me, well, I can't afford to change my Bible right now. Well, just go to BibleBeliever.com and click on the link that says free. If you can't afford to replace your NIV, ESV, Good News for Modern Man, The Message, Cipher Bible, or any of those other non-Bible Bibles, just go to BibleBeliever.com and click on free, and we'll be happy to replace your Bible at no charge to you. And that's all part of the ministry here of NowTheEndBegins.com. And with that, we've come to the end of our time for today. I thank you so much for tuning in. Just a reminder, I am taking Sunday off for a much-needed day of R&R, rest and relaxation. So there will be no Sunday service. There will be no Sunday night Bible study. I could really use the day off. And so the Lord put on my heart to give myself a day off. But Lord willing, we'll see you back here Monday, noon Eastern time, for another edition of our Prophecy News Podcast. Have a great weekend, everybody.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Oh,
to my knees, will I fall, will I sing hallelujah, will I be able to speak at all, I can only imagine, yeah, I can only imagine. Is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.